Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and Author, Sean Douglas. I want to welcome all of our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. The show is heard in over 30 countries, such as the U.S., Brazil, Canada, France, Australia, and New Zealand. So thank you so much to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here, we tell the stories of why we are doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we're using these to help transform others and elevate their lives. You can listen to us every Wednesday and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. On this show, we have impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. And my guest today does just that. If you have any questions for the guests, this is a live show if you're listening on one of our listening times. So you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. I invite you to listen live to this show and interact with our guests. And I want you to help me welcome to the show Emerald Greenforest. How are you?
I am awesome, Sean, and super excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I am super pumped. Like, I've been looking forward to this episode ever since we met at Steve Ulscher's New Media Summit in San Diego back in September. You light up a room. Like, your energy, like, you are contagious. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, but you are contagious. Like, you own it, girl. Like, you own the room. You're dancing and you know, talking to everybody and, hey, how's it going? And, you know, and it was just like, man. So I love that you're on the show.
Well, thank you, Sean. It takes one to know one, because if I recall correctly, you were pretty much owning the room yourself. Yeah, I think like attracts like. Although it's funny, I was thinking about something the other day, and I was reading one place where it said opposites attract, and then another place where it said like attracts like. So I'm like, I'm confused now. Is it opposites attract or like attracts like? Or maybe it's both, right?
I think it's people's justification of why people meet. Like, you guys aren't even meant to be together. Like, how did that happen? It's like, well, you know, opposites attract. Like, it's kind of like their, like, justification of why someone meets someone else. Yep. So if you're ready, I am ready.
Totally. I am ready to rock it.
Let's do this. So the title of this episode is Men on Purpose with Emerald Greenforest. Emerald Greenforest is America's premier expert, is one of America's premier experts, because she is a connector and catalyst for the creative age leader, the Men on Purpose, who have been called to be the vanguard of the creative age. She has an international reputation as an author of 7 books and contributing author to another 15. And she's an inspirational speaker, having presented nearly 500 times in 8 years on both live and virtual stages. Emerald is the creator of the 90, a multi-sensory interactive experience that catapults the creative age leader into their next adventure by expanding their consciousness, elevating their perspective, and activating them to align their compass so that they can leverage connections, creativity, and capital in a revolutionary manner. She is the facilitator of exclusive, invitation-only, total immersion retreats designed to forge collaborative bonds and coalesce capital and creativity to launch or further your legendary vision and bring it fully to life, and is the perfect mentor for the leader who has made their money and now wants to make their mark. You can locate her at www.emeraldgreenforest.com. emeraldgreenforest.com. You can look her up at facebook.com/AWYLDFYER. Look her up on LinkedIn at Emerald Green Forest. So reading your bio, I'm like, wow, like you are crushing it. 500 times in 8 years you've been on stage. That's amazing.
Well, it has been a very interesting journey, Sean. You know, what happened for me was when I got the call to speak and got the call to become a messenger, it was super, super potent. And I'm sure that you can relate to this. It was like such a powerful call. I could not resist. It was something I could not say no to. And when I received the call, it was around 2008. So the internet, even though it wasn't brand new, speaking at that time was still more of a traditional speaking kind of environment. So I went and looked at, okay, how can I get my message out? How can I get it out? And at the same time, I was approaching my second divorce and knew I was going to be a single mom. And it was so clear to me that there was no way I was going to be on the road 253 days out of the year and single parenting. So I'm so grateful for the what I call the technology angels that have given us the ability to literally reach ourselves around the world and be heard by millions of people. I've been heard literally by millions of people, had clients in every English-speaking country on the planet. And I never could have done it without the technology angels that have made virtual speaking such a reality and easy thing for people to do. So a lot of those 500 times I've spoken have been virtual. But as my son got older, I did start to do some more live speaking as well.
That's amazing. So with all that, the first question I always ask in the show, I believe, is the most important question that you have to ask yourself every day. Is why. Whenever we go through a bad breakup, it's why. Whenever something bad happens to us, we're like, why? Like, how did this happen? We never ask why whenever amazing things happen, you know? So I want to know what your why is. Why do you do what you do?
That is such a great question, Sean. And so I think what I want to do is I want to wind us back in time a little bit to to my prior career. So I spent almost 20 years in the real estate industry. And at the end of that career, I was the national chairperson for my trade association. I was consulting for the U.S. Agency for International Development and the World Bank. I was in the middle of a development with two partners. We were building 51 single family houses, 56 apartments and an office building. And I had a spiritual awakening. And it was precipitated by a number of things, but it was a time in my life where, like, the shit was flying on a daily basis for, like, 5 years in a row. Like, oh, what else bad can happen? Oh, here's another bad.
Right.
It's like, the it wasn't a plate. It was a banquet table. And and it was pretty intense. And then I had this spiritual awakening that literally changed my entire life and set me on the path of transformation and awakened me to what I call latent gifts and talents that I didn't even know I had. So as I was going through this process, I became aware that I had healing capacity. I became aware that I had art capacity. I became a juried artist and a photographer and jewelry maker. I had my own art gallery for a little while. I became aware that I could write, you know, like all of these gifts and talents that I didn't even really realize that I had hidden inside me suddenly popped out during that period of time. And so to come back to the actual question of why, I'm going to just say, the why for me is because I had this spiritual awakening and it became clear that I couldn't not. So I would say, why not? Like, why not try and write a book? Why not start speaking? Why not make art? Why not, you know, run a retreat? Why not create something amazing and put it out into the world? Why not?
Yeah. I love that. That's the first time I think I've ever heard someone put it that way. You know, like, well, why not? You know, like, but it was that moment. I love that moment of clarity, because some people strive. They're like, well, because they want to know that they're on the right track. I firmly believe that people don't wake up to fail. Like, nobody wakes up and says, you know what? I'm just going to fail at everything today. I'm just going to suck at everything. That's just what I'm going to do. Like, I don't think anybody does that. I think we get so bogged down, like you said, like one thing after another, one thing after another. It's like, come on. Like, when does it end? You know? And so some people I've met say, oh, there's too many good things going on. I'm waiting for that one bad thing. I'm waiting for that one bad thing. And other people are like, oh, this is my life. You know, there's so much bad stuff going on. This is my life. You know, I love how you put that. Like, well, why not? Like, I have this moment. I'm finding my purpose, right? I'm doing these things. Like, why not? Like, this is like, you fully stepped into that. I love it.
Yeah. And Sean, one of the things that I want to just pop into the audience here as we're riding the why not wave is, you know, you don't have to do what I did. What I did was I literally left behind a 20-year career and took a flying leap. My business partner at the time, when I said I was leaving, I literally was newly divorced from my first husband. I have two husbands. They was my husband. I was newly divorced from my first husband. I had a 7-year-old child, and I knew if I stayed another second with my business partner and in that field, I felt like I was dying. I literally knew
wow.
that if I stayed there, a part of me was going to die and maybe all of me was going to die. And I had to leave. I just could not stay another second. And when he said to me, well, what are you going to do? I said, literally what fell out of my mouth was, I'm going to be a crystal healer. And I didn't even know what the hell that was or what I was even talking about. And he gave me the three-headed look, and why not? Okay, why not? Well, you know, here's the invitation. Why not experiment with something that you have the little niggle for? You don't necessarily have to take a flying leap like I did and leave your entire life behind and create a whole brand new one, but you can experiment. You can carve out time in your day, in your life, to try things where you don't worry about failing. If you fail, you know, just look at it and say, well, that was an interesting experiment. And if you can hold it in a kind of experimental way, then I think you're going to be much better off.
I love your perspective. You're like, everything you say, I'm like, yeah, like, that's awesome. Man, I love the way that you look at the world. So who were you before you got to this point? Who were you, I don't know, 5, 10 years, like, what was that moment, like, before the transformation, you know, that led you to that moment?
So I've actually gone through two transformations, Sean. I went through the initial transformation in the 2001-2 timeframe. So I can talk about that first. And then I went through my second major transformation actually last year in 2016. So I'll take the first one first, and then we'll dive into the second one if it feels right. So who I was before was, I was very boxed in, very left-brained, highly regimented, very masculinized, highly anxious. I think if somebody had diagnosed me back then, they probably would have dosed me up with a whole shit ton of pharmaceuticals for anxiety. I drank. I had a stress-filled life. When I was building the project with my two partners, it was a multi-million-dollar project. I mean, I was working 16-hour days for 6 days a week, and my son was little. He was like 3, 4, 5 during that time. And part of that, in part of that time frame, part of that journey, he actually was sexually assaulted in daycare at 3 years
old. Whoa, no.
Oh, yeah. And that really was a major, I'm going to say, rupture in the fabric of my reality.
Yeah.
And not only was it a rupture in the fabric of my own reality and his, but also, of course, his dad's. And his dad ended up incapacitated for multiple months after that happened as well. And my suspicion is his dad probably had also experienced something like that when he was a child, and it was just never resolved or brought to the surface, because he literally became incapacitated as well. And so I had my child, who was three, that I was navigating his mental health and physical health being recovered and restored from that experience. And my husband, who was pretty incapacitated for almost a year, he was out on family and medical leave. Meanwhile, I'm literally the third partner in a multi-million dollar project, selling houses and, you know, dealing with the bank, trying to get the cash advances to pay the contractors and working 16-hour day. It was crazy. When I tell you, like, my buffet table was covered with shit, I'm telling you that's exactly what it was like. And ultimately, I broke. You know, it took me a long, long time before I broke, because that was part of who I was I was the one that was holding it all together. And when I broke, it was after everybody else was kind of back on their feet again. And I have such huge gratitude for particularly the practice of yoga. I actually started a yoga practice in early 2001, and that really started the spiritual awakening for me. That really started to break me open and allow me to transform and get into my body, because I literally was running purely on mental energy and purely on, putting out the next fire for a long, long time.
You know, when it comes to kids, it's like, I mean, that just resonates, you know, maybe because, you know, I was, physically abused and we were in a, you know, domestic violence dominated household, you know? So when I hear, you know, kids in abuse, I'm just like, oh, like it's so, so bad, you know? Oh man. Wow. I don't know how I would handle that situation, but it probably wouldn't be good. I would not be good.
Well, you know, I'm going to beg to differ with you, Sean, because I think that you actually have a level of consciousness. If you can even talk about having grown up in a domestic violence situation, I think that, you know, you would manage it as best as you possibly could. So in this case with my son, he was actually sexually assaulted by a 14-year-old boy.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I instantly thought of the workers. I was like, oh,
yeah,
it was instantly.
Yeah, no,
like, we never think that it's the kids, right? We think that, oh, the kids don't do it to other kids. It's always some weirdo adult, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so when I, you know, when the whole thing happened, it was clear to me, you know, this 14-year-old would not have done that if it had also not probably happened to him.
Yep.
So I was able to hold myself in a state of greater compassion than I may have been able to hold myself had it been an adult. But, you know, what it really kind of plays out here, Sean, is the fact that, you know, like you said, you grew up in domestic violence. I did too. The people who inflict those kinds of wounds on other people, even if they're in an adult body, that does not necessarily mean that they have adulted yet.
Right. Wow. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I get it.
So,
Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting, you know, you don't want to say, oh, well, you know, we're going to give that person a pass for being however they're being or behaving however they're behaving. We don't want to do that because we have to hold people accountable and we have to, you know, we have to uphold certain moral standards in the world, and at the same time, judging and wanting to mete out punishment may not be the right answer. It may be that
right.
we need to sequester those people and keep them separate from the rest of the world while we're supporting them to actually mature and come into adulthood and correct and heal whatever wounds they have that are driving that behavior.
Yep. Very, very true. Wow. So I got a two-part question here. What was the best part? And you can pick either one. Pick whatever one that means more to you. What was the best part about your transformational moment?
Well, I think the best part was discovering. So I'm going to go back to the first transformation, which happened in 2001, 2003, 2004 timeframe. So during that time frame, I was going through all of that stuff and stepping into literally a whole new lifestyle, a whole new personality, a whole new way of being. And I actually changed my name back then. In 2004, my name was changed to legally to Amethyst Wildfire. So I was Amethyst Wildfire. And I've been Amethyst. I was Amethyst Wildfire for 13 years until my second transformation that happened in May of 2016, which we can talk a little bit about too, if you want.
Sure.
So
yeah.
The best part of that first transformation was that I discovered all these latent parts of myself. I found the healer. I found the artist. I found the author. Like all of these artistic and creative and spiritual aspects of myself that I had no idea, like zero idea existed. So that would be the best part. And to kind of fast forward, so my second transformation in 2016, what happened in 2016 was my son by then had grown up and he was 20. And during that whole period of time that I was running my online business and serving people around the world and doing all the speaking that we talked about at the top of the show, you know, I was single parenting him. I went through another marriage and divorced to my second husband. And during the time where he stepped into adolescence was when I was stepping into really building my business and really, you know, making myself visible in a big world. And he started to get involved in drugs and had mental health issues. And we went through a lot of stuff during his adolescence that was really, really difficult. So, you know, I purposely created an online business so that I could be the mom who would be at home. I knew when I got called to speak that I could not be the 265 days on the road mom. I wanted to be the mom who was at home after they got out of school. I was the mom that made cookies for the football team. I was the mom where all the kids came to my house. I once had one kid come to my house. He was like 15 years old from the Dominican Republic. And he said, I offered food because I always offer food. And he said, "You're the first white mom who ever fed me." And I was like, wow. Wow. I was just stunned. "You're the first white mom who ever fed me." Stunning. So anyway, he was going through a lot of this stuff, multiple suicide attempts, drug use, you know, criminal behavior, lots of challenges. And it culminated in April of 2016, where he actually was high on, if you can believe it, homeopathic nasal spray. I couldn't believe it. After I figured out what he was on, I just couldn't believe it. Homeopathic nasal spray.
Wow.
And it was, you know, when somebody is in that addictive behavior pattern, they're going to, anything can throw them over the edge. So he was thrown pretty far over the edge. And I confronted him because I also discovered he was buying heroin and fentanyl online using Bitcoin. So,
okay.
So I confronted him, and that blew, he blew his top, and he literally, he attacked me in the basement. He locked me in the basement, told me he was going to cut me up in a million little pieces and throw me in the river. I managed to get out. Yeah, my son. Yeah.
Oh,
yep. Yeah. So I managed to get out. I got out through the bulkhead of my basement and ran out into the park, the local park, and called the police. An officer friend came to get me. I was like, oh my God, yes. Thank you, God. It's officer friend.
Oh my God.
Came to get me. They arrested my son and put him in jail. And 3 days after that, I heard and got clear from my inner knowing that I had a new name, and that's when I became Emerald Green Forest. So the best part about the second transformation, I would say, is that was a really hard one, because I literally ended my mothering in that moment. And I would say the best part about it has been I am now open in ways that I haven't been for 20 years to, experimenting in my life with creating in ways that I haven't had the time or the space or the energy to do. So I think the sense of openness is probably the best thing about the second transformation.
Wow. So the second part of the question was, what was the worst part about it? So I think you already got that covered.
Yeah, well, so the worst part, Sean, in both cases, is leaving behind everything that the whole way that you've constructed your life. Leaving behind the entire way that you've constructed your life. And that can feel painful if you're attached, particularly the second time around, you know, to the role of mother. I was pretty attached to that role. And I had to die to that role in order to be reborn into a new way of being in the world. And I got the other day in meditation, Sean, I was sitting, I was like, oh, Emerald, Eld. Oh, this is my elder name. So like when you move from maiden to mother to crone, you're an elder. Like, this is my elder name. So it's a totally different structure of living when you move beyond parenting. And you're not there yet, I know. But you'll discover that when you get there.
Yeah. That is amazing. Like, oh my, there's like so many layers to you. Like, I am blown away. You know what I mean? I think most people would be like, really? Like, you're changing the name to all these weird things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but there's so many layers to it though. Like, everything happens and created for a purpose. You know what I mean? Like, by the way, I love that, like, amethyst wildfire. Like, I love that. Cause that just sounds like a good time. I'm just saying.
It was hot.
Like a good time.
It was hot for a long time, Sean. The fire was burning hot for a very long time. And the good side of it is, yeah, the fire was burning hot for a very long time. On the bad side of it, a wildfire needs a shit ton of fuel. You know, it needs a lot of fuel. So, And now it's Emerald Peaceful Green Forest. So, going from that vibration, from the vibration of Amethyst Wildfire to the vibration of Emerald Peaceful Green Forest is a very significant shift. I literally spent pretty much all of last year, Sean, writing in my journal every morning, I am Emerald, I am Emerald, I am Emerald, to remind myself like I am a new person. And I did the legal name change twice. I'm sure the IRS and the Social Security Department are like, what the hell is going on with this woman? But, you know, I'm so guided by spirit. And I will tell you that there is no way I would be talking to you right now if I had not listened to my spirit and engaged in ceremony and surrendered deeply and allowed myself to be guided, because that night in the basement with my son, I can tell you 1,000 gazillion percent, we literally went through the eye of the needle, and it could have turned out very different. One or the other of us could have been in a casket that, you know, that week. And both of us came out on the other side. He ended up in jail for a while and, you know, had to go through the judicial system, and it still has another year to go to get to stay present and clear and free of drugs and on purpose himself. And yeah, I can tell you that the spiritual guidance that I received, you know, changing my name is nothing compared to going through something like that. That's, it's easy.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Like, I am blown away. Good for you. I am just, wow. So another two-part question, and I love the answers to this. Who has been your biggest influencer?
So I think that my biggest influencer, do you want a spiritual influencer or do you want a
it's
person?
Your influencer. Nope, okay. It's your influencer. It could be a book, it could be an experience, it could be a person, place, or thing. I don't care what it is.
Okay.
That's why I love this question, because people are influenced by so much.
So can I give you two? I'm going to give you two.
You can give me whatever you'd like.
Yeah, I'm going to give you two. So the first biggest influencer on my spiritual journey was Master Jesus. And it was Master Jesus who gave me the name Amethyst. I was in meditation on a sunny morning in May in 2004, and I was literally just sitting there in meditation after having taught my very first crystal healing class. And in the meditation, Master Jesus came and put his hands on my head with Archangel Michael behind him and Master Germain behind him on the other side. Master Jesus came and put his hands on my head in the meditation. He said, "You're amethyst." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Yes, I am." And the night of what happened with my son, that night I completely surrendered to Jesus. And Jesus, Master Jesus was with me. I could feel his presence around me. I could feel myself being held. I could feel myself being guided. I heard his voice in my ear when my son went up to get something to eat, and he said, "Go now." And I went out the bulkhead, wow, bulkhead and got myself out. So Master Jesus would be one, and Mother Earth would be the other. When the name Emerald came, so how I received Amethyst was Jesus put his hands on my head. How Emerald came was, again, 3 days later, I was in meditation and all of a sudden I heard, "You are Emerald." But this time it came literally bubbling up. It felt like a bubbling up from the earth.
Yeah.
And so Mother Earth, Mother Nature, nature herself, you know, that those would be my two biggest influencers, Master Jesus and Mother Earth.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay, so then who's your biggest supporters?
I love that question. My biggest supporters.
We ask the tough questions on this show.
Yeah. So I'm going to say my biggest supporters are, and this was really hard for me, Sean, and it may, you know, hopefully this is going to resonate with some of your listeners. I was fiercely independent. And very, very, I was a very masculinized woman. And then I had this, went through this spiritual awakening and started to connect with what I'm going to call medicine sisters. And these are what I would say, I would call them women of power. I would call them women who have had their own spiritual awakenings. Women who have been initiated maybe into some medicine tradition, whether it's Native American, North Native American, or South Native American, or Celtic, or I am a medicine woman in I have a number of traditions that I carry. I'm initiated in the Inca tradition. I'm initiated in the Celtic tradition. I'm initiated in the Toltec tradition. So I've taken initiations and I've done a lot of study and I've done a lot of personal medicine work. And so for me, I require the support of other medicine women, because if you haven't taken the initiations, you can't even relate to be able to support what I have when I'm going through stuff. So my biggest supporters would be my medicine sisters. And it took me a very long time to stop being the lone wolf and start asking for help and allowing myself to receive help. So on a personal and spiritual level, my biggest supporters would be my medicine sisters. And in a business level, I think the people who I really appreciate the most are people like you who are giving me a platform. You're giving me a platform to share my message, to make connection, to reach more people. So anyone who has been on my journey in the last, since 2008 when I got online, who has provided me with a platform to speak and to connect and to transmit my message, those are my biggest supporters.
That's awesome. I love that. Man, there's so much, there's so much to you. Like, I didn't realize just in the short time that we talked, you know, at the summit and because we only have a little bit of time to interview everybody. Okay, you know, why would he be on the show? And even in passing, as we talk between breaks and everything, like, there's – I'm completely in awe and in fascination of you, like, in a completely awesome way. So I'm just – it's amazing.
Well, thank you.
And I love
you.
Your perspective.
Thank you, Sean. And you know, one of the things I want to say to you is – and for anyone else who's, you know, feeling that awe – what you see in me is also in you. You would not be able to see it if you did not also possess it. So thank you for seeing it. And I'm sending right back to you the awareness for yourself that there's no way you could see it if you didn't also have it in you.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for that. So tell us, I really want to know, as we read in the bio, so I really want to know, so you created a multi-sensory interactive experience. So talk about what Creative Age Leader is, what you created, the 90, like, talk about that, so we can kind of get a context of what it is that you do and what you love about what you do.
Sure. So the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about the Creative Age Leader. And I believe we are actually at the dawning of the Creative Age. So if you think about it, you know, we had the hunter-gatherer age, and then we had the agrarian age where we were all farming. And then we had the industrial age where everybody was working in factories. And then we had the information age where everybody started moving into, you know, creating digital, the digital world. And we now are at the dawning of the creative age. We literally have the power to create out of the nothingness or the vast sea of potential to create anything we want. So you've created a radio show, and we can create money, and we can create talks for TED, and we can create total immersion retreats, and we can create anything we want. So we are at the very beginning of the creative age. And what the creative age requires us to do is acknowledge our sovereignty and our capacity to be creators. And you know, I think women have that kind of inherent, we know we can, you know, have babies happen in our body, right? And I think that men have been not as elevated and celebrated for their capacity to create. So part of what I am called to do now, in particular because of, you know, some of the things that I experienced in bringing my son up, is I'm really called to be in a space where I am supporting and elevating and celebrating and assisting men in particular, and what I like to call men on purpose, my magnificent men on purpose, to be able to dismantle any of the cultural and societal conditioning that is prohibiting them in any way from accessing their creative power. And if you think about it, our creative power resides in our sexual chakra, which is also where our emotional power is. And so men in particular have been culturally conditioned to repress, suppress, depress, compartmentalize all of their emotional range, and are left with pretty much, anger or depression. And it shows itself in things like anxiety and drinking and drugs and divorce and early death, heart attack. Men under 40 are like six or nine times, I can't remember the exact figure, more likely to commit suicide. And that is such a waste of potential and such a waste of life force, and is very saddening to me. And so what I'm doing with my new body of work is really, the 90 is a workshop or a play shop where mm-hmm. I'm helping men in particular, but I can also work with what I call masculinized women or anybody who identifies sure. themselves as a creative age leader. I mean, it's a play shop that I can take into corporations, I can take it into retreats and those sort of things. And really what we do in that is we strip away everything that's in the way of fully expressing who you are as your highest potential. So that's what we're doing with that. And then the other body of work that I'm really excited about right now is my Men on Purpose podcast, which I'm in the process of getting ready to launch very shortly here. And so I'm using that as a platform to really elevate and celebrate people around the world that I see are men on purpose, because we are really deeply in need right now of mm-hmm. shining the spotlight on what I'm going to call the new man, N-U, not N-E-W, but N-U, the new man who is both capable and compassionate. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. And I love the fact that you're going to start like that podcast. You know, we talked about it at New Media Summit, how powerful, podcasts can be, and just giving people a platform because it's introduced me to people like you who are just so incredible. And then other people, that I've had on the show that are impacting, I've had a 15-year-old on the show, it just gives you an opportunity to open the door to people's badassery, So I love that you're going to start that. That's amazing. And when does that come out? When does it start?
So anybody who's interested in the podcast can actually go to menonpurposepodcast.com. and sign up for the mailing list, because that's going to I'll be dropping email to let people know when it's coming out. So I have already got a bunch of interviews in the can, and I'm getting all of the technical stuff squared away on the back end. My initial thinking was it was going to be in January, and then I pushed it to February. But now my guy who's coaching me on this is saying, let's get it up and out soon. So it's sometime in the next, no later than my birthday, which is February of 2018. So no later than my Perfect. Birthday, it will be launching. And so anybody who is interested in finding out about the Men on Purpose podcast and tuning into that and getting on the list to know when the Men on Purpose podcast is going to drop, go to menonpurposepodcast.com. And Sean, I would love to invite you to be one of my Men on Purpose, and hopefully we can talk about that after
awesome.
We're done here. Yeah,
that would be super awesome. Yeah, I absolutely love that. So, so if you had to go back, would you change anything, or would you do anything different?
Wow, that's So on the one hand, there are lots of things that I'd like to take the eraser to.
Yep.
But on the other hand, I know that there's no way I could be who I am right now if I took the eraser to those things.
Exactly. And yeah, it's kind of a hard question, right? I mean, because it's like, everything happens for a reason, but there's a couple things I probably could have done without.
It's really bittersweet. It is bittersweet. You know, when you ask me that question, I feel like an upwelling of sadness of like, boy, yeah, I really wish I could have not had that happen or that happen or that happen. And then I say, yeah, but if that didn't happen, then all of these other things wouldn't have happened. So it's a dance of acceptance, you know, like really learning how to be present to what is, even when you feel like it's, wow, why is this happening? Really? So I think if there was one thing I would send back in time to the self that I was, as I was going through all of that, it wouldn't be so much that I would change anything, but I would send back comfort and strength. I would send back comfort and strength. Yeah.
Awesome. So I just thought about this. So if you had to start over, like, I mean, you still had your knowledge and, but you had lost, you know, supporters, you had lost money or jobs or whatever. You just started from scratch, right? But you still knew, like, you still have the knowledge and experience and everything, right? Like, you lost it all. What do you think the first thing you do is?
Speak.
Okay. Interesting.
100%. 100% I would speak because the word is magical. The word is creative. The word is a way to make connection that nothing else can do. So when people are listening to this show, they feel the vibration of my heart through the sound of my voice. They connect with the parts of my story that they're in. They are able to discern, is this somebody who is trustworthy and credible and somebody that I want to maybe have as a mentor or follow or go deeper with? The sound of your voice is incredibly powerful. And so I would absolutely 100% speak.
Awesome. Well, thank you for answering that. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the best resource that you found during your journey?
Best resource would be, this is another two-part answer. So I like to marry spiritual technologies with practical strategies. So The best resource from a spiritual technology aspect of things is ceremony and ritual. That has helped me unbelievably immensely. In fact, when we're done here tonight, I'm going to sit down and do a little ceremony with my business medicine bundle. So from a spiritual technology side of things, ritual and ceremony. From a practical strategy side of things, best resource, the internet. I love the internet. I love the technology angels. Thank you, technology angels, for making it easy for us.
Yeah.
Literally, Sean, if you were trying to do what you're doing now 25 years ago, it would be hugely difficult. It would be incredibly expensive. It would be, you know, this is easy. Thank you, God, for the internet.
Yeah. No, you know, I got into a debate with somebody. I said, well, who's the greater coach? Who's the greater mentor, Google or a person? I mean, I can find anything I want. I mean, how do I do whatever just Google it. You know, that's what most people do. I mean, their answers today, you know, I was like, hey, how do I do this? I don't know. Google it.
I'm going to challenge you on that. Okay.
Okay.
So there's a difference between accumulating knowledge and receiving wisdom. So Google is the best mentor. We're going to put that in quotes, mentor, for accessing and accumulating knowledge.
Right.
But you cannot beat a person for accessing wisdom. You can't. No machine can beat a person for accessing wisdom.
I would absolutely agree with you. Yeah. Because I think that there's a human element to it. There's an empathy and a sympathy and there's all these emotions, and there's like, oh man, like I know that, you know, back in the day, like I messed this up, or you know, don't do that. Like that's so bad. You know, when we read things, it's knowledge, right? But the application is where it's at, right? I mean, it's the entire application of, because I consume a lot, and I'm sure you do too. I consume a lot of knowledge. You know, to prepare for my TEDx talk, it was like I had to read, you know, Talk Like TED and how to deliver a great TED talk, and you know, TED Talks, like the actual book by Chris Anderson. And it's just like I read these books, I'm like, that's awesome. And then like, what do I do with it? I mean, I got the knowledge, I should be good,
yep.
Right?
But yeah,
but
no,
it's the application, and that's where the mentor and the coach comes in. It's walking with someone along the way. That if we stumble, they can write us up. You're like, oh, no, don't do that. Like, keep on going. You know what I mean? Because without that person who's already been there, like, we're just throwing things at the wall and hoping they stick.
Totally. And even the best system, I did an interview once with some guy, and we got on this subject where I said, listen, people are not hamburgers. So, you know, McDonald's can set up a systematic, you know, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, and you get a Big Mac, right? Put on the mayonnaise, put on the lettuce, put on the tomato, put on the bun, put on the burgers. You got a Big Mac, right? But no matter what system you go through, whether it's learning how to put together a TED Talk or learning how to sell or learning how to, you know, do SEO on the air, whatever it does, you can, the systems, people are not hamburgers. So every single person can go through that same exact system and have a different result, which is why the human element is so important and why it is absolutely essential to maintain the human connection and not to try and kid ourselves into believing that if I buy this system or invest in that system, then suddenly I'm going to be a multimillionaire. Because, you know, if you don't have the heart for it, or if it's not really your purpose, or if, you know, life comes along and throws you for a loop and you're trying to get support out of the step-by-step system, you're going to be not having that happen.
Boom. Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it. So you talked about the podcast. You talked about, you know, the creative age and all that. But where are you headed now? I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the end of 2017. And, you know, and it's been an incredible, incredible year. So what kind of new adventures, businesses, family, you know, what are you doing in you know, to close out 2017 and carrying that momentum into 2018?
Well, you know as well as I do, Sean, I'm going to be dancing my pants off.
You coming back to New Media Summit in April in San Diego?
It is on my radar.
That's awesome.
Dance my pants off. I love dancing a lot. So tomorrow night I'm going out for a thing here locally in the Boston area where I live called the Three Kings Party, and they have hosted it for 21 years in a row. So I'm going to go dance my pants off there tomorrow night. That's my big party for the end of the year. From a business perspective, my main focus right now is getting the podcast up and off the ground. And I'm going to be going to 10X Growth Con in Las Vegas at the end of February, Grant Cardone's
awesome.
Event, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of men there who could potentially be client. And I know that when I show up in an event space, well, you said it at the beginning, if I am meant to attract clients, from that space, I will come out of that space with clients. So I'm excited about taking on a new group of clients for 2018. The way I'm working with my men is I either do a VIP day, a time to make your mark VIP day with me, or my Leading Like a Legend retreats. I do those. I've got a retreat on the schedule for April that I'm looking at filling. And then my Legendary Legacy year-long mastermind. So those are the podcast, VIP days, retreat, and my year-long mastermind is where my focus is on for 2018. And lots of dancing with men on purpose.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. So here's the moment of the show where you do a shameless plug. You can plug your friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, your products, movies. You can give a shout out to whatever or whoever you want. This is your time to shine. Shameless plug, go.
Great. So the first thing I want to do is I want to shamelessly plug my site and invite any men, particularly, who've resonated with what I have said today and feel like I might be a right fit mentor for you, to go to my site, emeraldgreenforest.com, and use the link /gift, G-I-F-T. So emeraldgreenforest.com/gift, G-I-F-T. When you get there, you do not have to sign up for anything. I have there a complimentary download. It's an 8-minute audio. It's an instant clarity exercise. If you want to sign up for my mailing list, I invite you to do so. But, you know, totally, I want you to be excited about it. And I want you to say, oh my God, I want to hear from this woman. I don't want to feel like I'm bribing you to have to give you something so that you give me your name. That's not the way I want to do business moving forward from here. So my gift to you is a free, no strings attached gift at emeraldgreenforest.com/gift, G-I-F-T. If you want to be part of my podcast community, menonpurposepodcast.com. And I think I also want to shamelessly plug where we got introduced, which is Steve Olscher's New Media Summit. I do have my intention to be there in April of next year. And I'd love to see you there. I'm looking forward to seeing you there, Sean. I know you've been selected to be one of the new icons for that event coming up in April. So, yeah, so that's what I would say. So I think that's at newmediasummit.net. And the only other thing I want to plug is I want to plug Life Transformation Radio. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And please, listeners, continue to tune in and give feedback to Sean and call in and talk to the speakers. And really, I want to recognize how valuable it is to have a virtual stage, to have a platform, to be able to share my message and express myself and share my life story and potentially do some business with some of the people who are listening to your show here, Sean, and are in your audience. So anybody who is listening to this episode, please give some love to Sean and spread the word about Life Transformation Radio and let your friends know to tune in and feed back to him because he's doing some really great things here with us.
Thank you so much. I didn't expect to be plugged, but I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you so much. So as we wrap up and close the show, we always close with some knowledge and a call to action. So as we wrap up, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
Yeah, I'm going to give you my 5 eyes of the wise.
Yes.
So the 5 eyes of the wise are when you feel inspired, take action. So that's the first eye is inspired action. The second eye is invest. You've got to invest in yourself, especially when you're inspired to take action. The third eye is when you've been inspired to take action and you've invested, immerse yourself in whatever it is that you have invested in. Like, really go in deep. Take and go all the way. Don't be a skimmer. The fourth eye is integrate. And what that means is, after you've immersed yourself, take everything you've learned and throw out what doesn't work for you. Allow yourself to cull and prune and get rid of stuff that doesn't work for you and only keep the best parts. And then the final eye, five eyes of the wise, would be implementation. And I know that implementation is something that you're big on, Sean. So
yes,
go out and implement everything that you have accumulated in the course of your journey through any kind of wisdom quest.
Perfect. Perfect. So is that kind of that call to action then? Like, just like, that's cool. Like, you said the five eyes
of the wise. Yeah. The five eyes of the wise. WISE. So the five eyes are inspired action,
mm-hmm.
investment,
mm-hmm.
immersion, integration, and implementation. You've got
to
go out
and
do it. Yeah, the call to action is go do it. Well, the first call to action is when you're inspired. Like,
right.
Oh my God,
right.
You think maybe I'd like to do a radio show. If you're thinking maybe I'd like to do a radio show, go do it. Take inspired action. Invest, right? So they're not always linear. They're not always linear, but that's the five eyes of the wise. And the call to action is, you know, why not? That's the call to action. Why not?
Yes. Absolutely. Wow. This has been amazing. I am blown away at how epic your life has been. Like, it is, I am just blown away. I kind of got an idea, like, cause we kind of talked about the sun a little bit. I'm like, wow, that's what, you know, but like when you put it all together, wow. That's just incredible. I think you've lived a very epic life.
Well, and my prayer is that I can support others who know that they're here to have a legendary life to make that happen too. Help them to make that happen too. Yeah.
That's awesome. So thank you so much for being on the show. This has been amazing, amazing. And I wish you the best in 2018.
You as well. Thank you for having me, Sean. It's been my pleasure.
Awesome. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything resonated with you, you have got to connect with Emerald. You can go to www.emeraldgreenforest.com. Look her up on Facebook, and you can look her up on LinkedIn, Emerald Greenforest on LinkedIn. You got to connect with her. She is absolutely amazing. All the men listening, you have got to connect with her and get in one of her programs. It will revolutionize and change your life. So if anything resonated with you, look her up. You can also find Life Transformation Radio on iTunes. And if you're not an Apple user, then you can go to Stitcher.com and you can look up Life Transformation Radio on Stitcher. We're also on TuneIn and a couple of the different platforms. But I ask that you subscribe to the show so you don't miss any of the amazing guests that are on here, like Emerald Greenforce, who is absolutely changing lives every single day. So as we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out those values that you hold deep in your heart. And when you do that, you live your brand. So until next episode, have a good night.